In the Jumper Bay, aka RPS for Puddle Jumpers, by Demeril, read by Viluta.
Then the scientist kissed John.
And Jumper 3 pauses, in just the same way that all the jumpers pause over John's name, which has the serendipitous effect of allowing a collective shuddering sigh to fill the Jumper Bay.
Did John like it?
Jumper 2 asks, breathlessly.
Oh, he liked it. He started to make those breathy little moans. You know, the ones...
Oh, yes!
Jumpers 4 through 8 agree happily. Jumper 10 isn't so happy. John doesn't take Jumper 10 to the mainland when he goes there alone with the scientist. She thinks it's because there's still a slight atmosphere in her rear compartment from the time when two of the Athosian brats were sick in her. They were followed swiftly in the act by the little scientist with the strange eyewear. Even though some of those heavy-footed soldiers washed out afterwards, she's never felt quite clean since.
Kissing,
she says with a disdainful sniff.
I thought you said you had some really hot news for us. Not just a replay of the usual.
Usual for some of us,
Jumper 7 returns sharply. Jumper 2 jumps in.
But the kissing,
she says.
It's a thing of beauty.
Oh, yes!
Jumpers 4 through 8 agree.
So there was kissing.
Jumper 3 has an edge to her voice now.
And it was good, and hot, and John liked it. And then the scientist took John's clothes off, and touched him, and licked him.
Ooh.
Comes the chorus from around the bay.
John likes being licked. Especially there.
Puts in Jumper 4 with a naughty little giggle.
On his, you know, his cock?
Jumper 4?
Jumper 5 sounds shocked.
Oh, like you don't talk about the way the scientist opens John up with his fingers before sliding his cock deep inside him and how much John loves that.
Jumper 4 responds.
But not in public.
Jumper 5 said in a very small voice.
I only tell you.
Sensing she's losing her audience, Jumper 3 coughs, loudly.
And then...
She pauses for dramatic effect. Jumper 2 can't wait any longer.
What? What?
She squeaks.
The scientist...
Yes?
Jumper 2's voice couldn't get much higher.
Said that John...
Yes?
Jumpers 4 through 8 squawk.
That John belongs to him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Jumper 2 sighs wistfully, no doubt imagining having a John of her very own.
Belongs?
Jumper 8 demands.
John doesn't belong to anyone except us. He's his own person. Who does that scientist think he is?
I like that scientist,
Jumper 2 says, somewhat timidly.
You do?
Jumper 6 asks.
But he's always messing with us, changing things, swapping things round, so you can't tell if you're on your primary circuits or the reverse thrust.
But he makes everything run better,
Jumper 1 says.
If something isn't quite right, he fixes it.
And he makes John happy,
Jumper 2 says.
That's true,
Jumper 5 agrees shyly.
Nobody else makes John feel that way.
I'm sure I wouldn't know,
Jumper 10 sounds snippy.
No,
Jumper 9 says sadly.
It's not fair they never take you with them. Maybe we should do something about that.
Like what? It was probably supposed to sound like a sneer, but there's a thread of hope suddenly running through Jumper 10's voice.
Something special, so they don't notice the smell,
says Jumper 6.
Oh, thank you very much,
Jumper 10 responds.
Are you sure you don't know the scientist?
Jumper 5 asks.
You sound just like him.
Just because I don't get to go with them when they're on their own, doesn't mean I don't get them at other times,
Jumper 10 says.
John let the scientist try and fly me once.
A shudder runs round the Jumper Bay. Jumper 10 isn't the only victim of John's love for the scientist. Jumper 9 is on a mission.
Maybe you should let them know about your beaming control next time they take you out,
he suggests.
You know the scientist will be crawling around inside you for weeks after that. And wherever he is, John is never far behind.
So true,
sighs Jumper 2.
I let him know about my proximity alarms today.
Jumper 3 is fed up of no longer being the center of attention.
You did what?
Jumper 6 is scandalized.
I thought we agreed... I know. But they were lying there, cuddling.
Cuddling?
Sighs Jumper 2.
Oh, that's so romantic.
if you don't mind.
Jumper 3 is not impressed by the interruptions. When there's no reply except a few happy little sighs from around the bay, she continues.
Well, I could see those Athosian people approaching, and I didn't think John would like them to see him like that.
With his dick hanging out?
Jumper 8 sniggers. Jumper 2 huffs furiously.
You make it sound so crude,
she accuses.
It's beautiful. It's love.
Jumper 8 seems a little overcome that she was so rude about John.
Well, yes,
she says.
He wouldn't like to be found like that.
Holding the scientists close so their bodies are pressed together, the scientists' arms wrapped around John, his leg nestling between John's legs, and stroking and kissing. Lots of kissing,
Jumper 2 says with a long sigh. There's a bit of silence.
Anyway,
Jumper 3 continues finally.
I didn't want anybody but us to see John like that, so I set off my alarms.
Like a cheap little flirt, just trying to get John's attention,
Jumper 2 accuses.
It was John,
Jumper 3 defends.
I would have done it too,
Jumper 1 says.
Me too,
Jumper 4 through 8 agree. And me, Jumper 10 says with a wistful sigh.
You'll get the chance,
Jumper 9 whispers to her.
I promise.
She raises her voice to address the other jumpers.
Look, it's just bad luck that Jumper 10 got thrown up in,
she says.
It almost happened to me on the way to that hot planet where that filthy wraith violated me,
Jumper 5 pipes up in support.
It could happen to any of us at any time,
Jumper 9 agrees.
Why not let Jumper 10 have her turn with John and the scientist?
There's an awkward silence, as though nobody wants to be seen to be selfish. But really, John and the scientist together are an experience that nobody wants willingly to give up.
We'll still get to hear everything afterwards,
Jumper 9 continues.
We all share the stories.
Some of us in more detail than others,
Jumper 5 mutters.
Just because some of us like the kissing and the cuddling and some of us like to be crude,
Jumper 2 says.
You mean I love the way the scientist bends John over my console and takes him till he's groaning with need and then comes all over me until I think I'm going to short out?
Jumper 4 says.
Well, yes, I suppose I do.
Jumper 2 sounds somewhat breathless, so Jumper 9 takes over again.
Anyway,
she says,
we've all seen them together. And you know how lovely they are. It's not fair that Jumper 10 hasn't had that opportunity just because of bad luck. I think we should let her, and then she can tell us about how beautiful it is when they kiss and make love and hold each other afterwards.
And fuck and groan and come and need each other.
And how John melts when the scientist touches him, even when he pretends he doesn't.
And the feeling when John... it's enough to make your circuits overload.
Yes, it's not fair that Jumper 10 hasn't experienced that,
Jumper 9 says firmly. A silence falls over the Jumper Bay. At last, Jumper 1 breaks it.
I guess,
she says, heavily. And with Jumper 1 sacrificing the possibility of another day with John, what else can the others do but follow her example? Any little stories about the way John and his scientists love one another that are shared between Jumpers 4 and 5 and maybe one or two of the others as the night wears on, are merely comfort for what they know they've selflessly sacrificed for another day. The next day, when John comes around the Jumper Bay, he finds that all the jumpers except number 10 are already gone. Had he had a little more sleep, he might have realized they didn't have 9 other teams. Had he had a little more sleep, he might have been aware that the other 9 were employing their cloaking mechanisms. But John had spent the night with Rodney in his bed, intent on proving the many ways in which John belonged to him, and he hadn't had much sleep. So that day, it was Jumper 10 who went to the mainland with John and his scientist. It was Jumper 10 who heard what John said to his scientist. The tale she has to tell of that day is another story entirely. The end.